The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
He is an Army veteran.
Duty, honor, country.
And former district attorney for Colorado's 18th Judicial District.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Most important, he's a father and a proud American.
Americans love a winner.
He is George Brockler. And this is The George Show on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Everything that guy just says, bull.
Welcome back to The George Show. I am joined in studio, as I am every Saturday, by my friend, my former colleague, and my attorney, Phil Harding. Phil, I know the goal isn't to get to a jury trial, but if a case has to get in front of a jury, what are the things that they just don't ever get to know about?
This is great information, because everyone out there, including you and me, George, are potential jurors. And I'm talking about civil cases. So let's say there's a car accident case and there's a lawsuit. I hear jurors ask me afterwards, why didn't you guys try to settle this case?
Yeah.
There is a rule called 408. Settlement negotiations are totally inadmissible. You also need to know that before someone goes to trial, every court says you have to go through mediation. You have to try to settle this before I'm going to give you a trial date.
You have to have gone through something that the jury never gets to know about.
Exactly. And that's the first thing. Second thing is, if there is a trial and if the other side, and let's say it's a car wreck, has an attorney, then more likely than not, insurance is paying for that. Mm. But if you bring up the word insurance, it's a mistrial.
Oh, goodness.
And during that mistrial, if, for example, if I mentioned it, jurors, at least the courts think that jurors will give more money. I have to pay the other side's attorney's fees and costs.
Oh, that blows.
So no one mentions insurance.
Yeah, that's awful.
Here's another thing. If you hear at the beginning, and again, car accident case where the defense says, hey, we've accepted liability, then all of a sudden you cannot know why the car accident took place. For example, if the person was drunk, you will never know that.
Oh, what? That's not fair.
I know it's not fair. But the moment they say we're at fault, it's no longer relevant as to how the accident occurred, but just the damages that someone sustained from it.
Oh, my goodness. Look, for more awesome information like this one, stay tuned for Saturdays on The George Show. But really, call Phil at 303-762-9500, 303-762-9500. You can also find him on the internet at hlaw.com. That's hlaw.com. When I had a claim, when I had legal questions, I called Phil. You should too.
The George Show with George Brockler on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Sitting on a pocket full of hard-earned wages, looking at the world through magazine pages. I heard a lot about.
Welcome back to 710 KNUS. Last hour of this Saturday show, George Brockler with you on The George Show. Randy Corcoran coming up after this, I believe, live from CPAC, one of the benefits of having the Republican National Committeeman here on the staff here at the Salem Communications World Headquarters. I made that up. I really don't even know where their headquarters are, but 710 KNUS. Looking forward to hearing that conversation as well. You know, tomorrow the former president will be making his comments. You can hear those live here, I believe. But stay tuned for all that stuff. Now, look, I want to shift gears a little bit for all those folks calling in at 303-696-1971 to continue to have this conversation about the governor's proclamation and let's not eat meat for a whole day and all that stuff. I promise you we can revisit that after this segment. But this segment's important to me because it highlights something that's going on with our economy that I think has largely slipped under the radar. We hear about how bad the economy is, but we don't hear about who it's impacting the most and maybe even some reasons why it is. So we have a special guest on hold with us right now, Nicole. And I'm going to ask Nicole, do I pronounce your last name, Nicole, real?
Yes, pronounced real, like the real deal.
Boom. Oh, there it is. We have Nicole Real Deal Real on the line with us right now. Now, there's a study that was put out by the Common Sense Institute, but you're with a different organization that helped to produce this thing. So before we get into what this study was about and sort of the results of it, tell listeners a little bit about who you are and your background.
Yeah. So thanks so much for having me on the show this morning, George. My name is Nicole Real. I'm the president and CEO of an organization called Executives Partnering to Invest in Children, otherwise known as EPIC.
Good name.
And we are an organization that was founded by business executives across Colorado who felt like early childhood issues needed to be front and center for the business community here in our state. So we work on policy issues and, you know, ways to support companies and employers in Colorado that allows us to prioritize early childhood so that we can build a great workforce for the future, but also attract and retain a great workforce today.
Now, that sounds like big stuff and an important issue for us to continue to pursue. Let me ask you this, though, before we get into the specifics of this study. Where did you grow up?
I am a Colorado native.
Where
so
was high
happy
school?
To say that I was born and raised here in Colorado, and I'm a Colorado Buff. So what? Go Buffs.
Oh, go Buffs. Where was high school?
I actually attended Devlin Junior Senior High School.
Oh, I know Devlin.
At the time was in Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Devlin is, did you ever take math from a guy named Corey Rickman?
Absolutely.
Oh, you did? So yeah. The guy that just called in before you called in, the last guy that we had call in the last hour is a guy named Shane. I won't give out his last name probably because there's still probably warrants. I'm kidding. Shane and Corey and I all went to Bear Creek High School together. Corey was my best friend and my roommate in college and all that stuff. That is a small world. And it also dates me. So forgive me for throwing that out there. But Devlin's a great school. So you have a good education and you went to the Buffs. So, you know, you got that
That's
going
right.
for you. Now that we've established you are the most credible person on the air right now, tell me about sort of the approach that you guys took to what you ended up calling, and I like the catchy name, the She Session, but what made you start looking at how the economy was impacting women and mothers?
Yeah, so, you know, the Common Sense Institute is a great organization here in Colorado that really does some fantastic research and work around, you know, the economy and workforce and all of those types of topics. They had noticed that as they were tracking workforce numbers throughout this pandemic, there was a trend that was emerging around women leaving the workforce disproportionately. And certainly women who had children were the largest work group that seemed to be impacted. So we just released a report that really took a look over the past year of this pandemic, what had happened with regards to the workforce. And disproportionately, of course, women left, women with children were especially impacted, and women of color or women who were in industries that were hard hit, like hospitality, tourism, certain healthcare industries. And what we've now come to know is that over 20,000 women have left Colorado's workforce in the past year, enough to fill what wow. most of us know of as the Pepsi Center or now the Ball Arena.
And in fact,
so
that's
a huge impact.
That's 8,000 more people than will be allowed to watch Rockies games. So there's
right.
that. tell us about some of the other numbers, though, too, because as I go through this study and this report, it's pretty stark.
It is indeed. I mean, we definitely are seeing very disturbing trends when it comes to women in the workforce. And in fact, it's important to also know that just before the pandemic hit in January of 2020, we had actually hit the point where we had more women in the workforce than men. So we had very even numbers in terms of men and women in the workforce, although we still saw women and men overall participating in the workforce less when they had young children. And we think that childcare certainly plays into that workforce trend.
Well, and I imagine, too, not just the childcare part, but if you are parents of kids who are told you don't get to go to school anymore and you have to stay home,
right.
that all of a sudden that falls to mom and dad to figure out. And I'm just going to guess, maybe not as a product of any sort of misogyny or sexism, I'm just going to guess that moms were more likely to stay at home and maybe have to give up a job or something than their husbands. I don't know if that's just stereotypical or did you find that to be true?
No, that's definitely true based on what studies have found. In fact, a 2020 McKinsey report stated that mothers were 1.5 times more likely than fathers to be spending an extra 3 or more hours a day on housework and childcare, equivalent to about 20 hours a week or essentially half of a full-time job. So we know that, you know, women in American households are still taking on the larger share of these duties. And of course, when schools closed, that left many families scrambling to figure out what to do. I was one of those. I have a first grade daughter. And so my husband and I both work full-time. We were fortunate to be in the position that we could still work from home. But that was still really difficult to manage two full-time jobs and balance virtual learning and trying to figure out how to make all of that work in our house.
Yeah, and look, I know from having kids older than yours, it's not just, hey, we are there to make sure the internet stays up while the first grader sits attentively at the computer screen. That's just not how the world works when you're a parent. You got to be more engaged than that. Is there any way to reliably measure how much of these jobs lost or women leaving the workforce are the product of the schools being shut down as long as they were? Is there any way yet to do that? I hope we know the answer to that at some point.
We do have organizations that are starting to dig into these statistics and conduct interviews with families and really collect information. We do know from some data research that's been done by an organization called Early Milestones Colorado that many families are reporting that either lack of access to child care for the birth to five range and the closure of schools is definitely driving decisions to leave the workforce. That has certainly come through in qualitative data, and we're hoping that they'll be able to find more of that quantitative data around those findings as well. But certainly that is what they're hearing from parents, that, you know, oftentimes these hard decisions had to be made because they just couldn't bear the weight of having to deal with everything. And if you're a single parent, unfortunately, that was a pretty easy decision for you sometimes, to know that you either could go to work or you needed to stay home and right. take care of your child and make sure they could learn.
There are a couple of, I don't know, just powerful statistic sentences from this study. If you don't mind, I'm just going to throw these things out. And they really Absolutely. Reflect on December of 2020. It says, in December of 2020, there were 9.65 million fewer jobs in the U.S. than in January of the same year. Of the total job loss, women accounted for 54.5% of those jobs. That means 860,000 fewer jobs than women. In December, women accounted for, this part's crazy, in December, women accounted for 100% of the net job loss for the month, as women lost 140,000 jobs and men gained 16,000 jobs. And then this one, I don't, maybe you can help understand or make this understandable, but it says, while women make up just 48% of the jobs in the retail industry, they accounted for 89% of the total jobs lost in that sector in 2020. How is that possible?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we saw was, you know, although the breakdown between men and women working in the retail industry was fairly even, more women left their retail jobs because they had, you know, likely other things they needed to handle within their families, like e-learning or perhaps their childcare provider closed. Maybe they were even utilizing a grandparent or a family or a friend or a neighbor to provide childcare for them. And oftentimes those individuals could no longer care for children because they were either deemed to be high risk or, you know, a number of other factors came into play. And so unfortunately we did see in those types of industries a much larger proportion of women leaving their jobs to go handle those other things that came up in their lives.
Now, not all the women that have lost their jobs through this thing, disproportionate to men, are moms. What are some other reasons that you guys are starting to look at or you've concluded were causes of this?
I think, you know, we're still looking at trends, certainly, but there are, of course, you know, industries that have been hit very, very hard by this pandemic. You know, we know that restaurants and hotels and the tourism industry especially have been hit very hard. And those are industries that do tend to have a higher percentage of women working in them. They also tend to have a higher percentage of people of color working in them. And so that's why, you know, thus far we are seeing those work groups trend higher in terms of leaving the workforce and being impacted by this pandemic. There's certainly still much more data rolling out around this, but, you know, so far those trends and those statistics are very convincing in terms of what's happening. And hopefully we start to turn those around as this pandemic does start to slowly come to an end, hopefully. But yes, that's definitely what we've seen across the spectrum.
Now, this She Session has not hit women equally across the age spectrum. It's hit younger women harder. Do you remember what those numbers were and why is that?
Yeah, so again, we know that women who are in the age range of 16 to 24 have seen higher entry into the workforce, and so they did initially see a hit in the workforce that have come back. But again, these women who we know are mothers and are typically in that age group of having children have been impacted the highest amongst all of the groups.
Have you seen, so these numbers, and some of them are national, but have you seen these numbers correlate with what's going on here in Colorado? Is Colorado doing better or worse by women in terms of the economy?
You know, I think we just saw some new stats lately, and Colorado is definitely amongst the states that have been hit the hardest across the unemployment spectrum. And, you know, some of that is certainly due to the fact that we do have high tourism areas in our state and industries that have been hit very hard. But across the board, these are trends that we're seeing across the country. And we know that this is a story that's happened, you know, to women across the U.S., especially when it comes to women who are struggling with these issues around childcare and schools being closed.
How can we fix this? And maybe fix is, I don't know, too strong. But how can it be addressed, the negative impacts of this, or what can we do? And frankly, the government, the governor's pulling all the strings here in the state economy, basically. What can be done to rectify this disparity between men and women in terms of how the economy's crushed them?
Well, of course, first off, we want to get schools open. That's going to be a huge help for families in getting back to work and really alleviating a lot of that stress they're dealing with. So very happy to see that school districts are starting to bring kids back full-time in person. I'm happy to say that my daughter is now back to school full-time in person. That has been a huge relief.
Where is that? What part of the state is that?
We're in Douglas County, Colorado.
Wait a minute. I'm in Douglas. Oh, yeah, first grade. Okay. I'm in Douglas County, and it's
grade.
A struggle to get them to just do the hybrid, you know?
Yes. Yes, it's definitely been a challenge. So nice to see that schools are bringing students back slowly, that, you know, our educators are able to get their vaccinations and hopefully feel more comfortable with that. You know, in terms of thinking about the infrastructure of our childcare system, you know, we had a massive issue before the pandemic hit when it came to access and affordability of childcare. In fact, most people don't know that even before the pandemic, although our economy was growing like crazy, our population and our workforce participation was growing like crazy, our child care slots were actually decreasing. And we had had over 400 family child care homes close and had lost over 11,000 slots that were typically slots that could be used for infants and toddlers in those family child care homes. So we had an issue before then, and now we know that this has even gotten worse with the pandemic. We've had childcare programs close, unfortunately. And so we're really trying to look at solutions and how we can rebuild the childcare infrastructure so that when all this pent-up consumer demand is unleashed and we're growing our economy again and recovering from this pandemic, families can get back to work. Men and women can find affordable, accessible childcare. Children can have a safe and educational and supportive place to be while families go to work. And, you know, we really want to look at ways to ensure that these childcare programs can open their doors, they can be sustainable, and they don't have barriers to entry when they do want to open a program and serve families and children in their community.
Is it fair to say that from your study, that the biggest drivers of women and especially moms leaving the workforce is the shutdown in schools combined with the, I guess, the economic crushing from the lockdown stuff?
Yeah, that's definitely the trend that we're seeing and what we have heard, so to speak, from parents and women, especially in the studies that have been done, that, you know, the just the amount of work and stress and everything taking place in the home has really taken its toll. And, you know, in many cases, if they hadn't lost their job because of, you know, the impacts of the economy and worked in one of those industries that were hard hit, there were many women who decided to leave their jobs so that they could handle all of the additional stress and tasks that were needed to take care of at home. And so hopefully, you know, again, now once we start to get this economy recovering, we know that we do have many women and men who want to go back to work and who want to earn a living for their families and be able to pursue their careers and have their own economic sustainability for their family. And so we want to make sure that, you know, when they need those support services like childcare, those are available in their communities and they're affordable.
Last thing I want to ask you about, though, is why do you surmise that the impact is also showing up in terms of racial demographics? Why are women of color more impacted than white women?
Well, women of color do tend to work more often in lower paid wage positions and also tend to work in those hardest hit service-related industries. The other aspect to think about is, you know, in these service-related industries or in these industries where we see women of color tending to work more often, those are jobs where they don't typically have the option to work from home. There wasn't that amount of flexibility that they could take when it came to having to manage virtual learning and having a child at home. They had a job where they needed to physically report to a location, and if they couldn't do that, they had to make a really tough choice about leaving their job or being home with their child. And of course, in cases where, again, they were a single parent, sometimes that was a forced decision that they really didn't have any control over. So those are certainly scenarios that we have heard have played out in families and have certainly been a driver of some of these job losses and the disproportionality we see in this.
You know, you bring up a real conundrum here because on the one hand, we want to say, look, the simple solution is let's just open back up the economy and allow these jobs to be created and start up again. But sort of the rain on that parade, Nicole, is your reference to the fact that that doesn't necessarily allow women in home to go back to those jobs because they still got to figure out, what do I do with my children? And we just don't have the child care, I guess, resources available for what is going to be this coming demand. That's something I hadn't really considered before. That's interesting. I'm not sure how we're going to tackle that.
Well, we have some ideas, so it's not all bad news.
Okay, good.
And, you know, we are, you know, because EPIC works with business leaders and executives from across the state of Colorado, we've been working with our membership to really think about this and what could this look like. You know, many employers and businesses are willing to look at ways that they can support these solutions for their employees. It doesn't always look like creating on-site childcare. We know we've got a number of different employers across different industries, but we do want to look at ways to, for example, create incentives for employers so that they can invest in these solutions and perhaps, you know, receive tax benefits or have some other incentives associated with that. Governor Polis, in his budget proposal to the Joint Budget Committee this year, has included a proposed grant program that would provide grant resources for employer-sponsored childcare projects. So I think there's a lot of flexibility in what that means and what that looks like. But for example, if multiple employers wanted to join together to try to create increased access to childcare in their local community where their employees are, there would be resources to help support that. And we at EPIC are also working with legislators right now to address some of the barriers we know that exist around, for example, an individual who would want to provide childcare in his or her own home for children and right now is having some issues around regulation with that.
Would you do us a favor, Nicole, and that is, as this thing progresses and you start to see some successes or maybe even roadblocks, would you come back on and kind of give us an update on this? This is pretty important stuff.
Absolutely. I would love to.
Where can folks go to get the skinny on this report that you've done?
Yeah, so you can visit commonsenseinstituteco.org to see this report. It's called The She Session in Colorado, The Impact of COVID-19 on Women in the Workforce in 2020. And if you want to learn more about EPIC's work, you can visit coloradoepic.org.
That's all great stuff. Nicole, the real deal, real from Devlin in Jefferson County. Last question, I promise. Have you ever had a soy burger?
No, I can't say I have.
Okay, there you go. Thank you so much, Nicole. Thanks for calling in and giving us some of your Saturday morning. Get back to that first grader. She probably wants mommy time. Hey, listen, we went a little bit long on this segment, but there's just too much good information in there to cut off, Nicole. Go check out that Common Sense Institute, co.org website, and check out that study. When we come back, we'll hear from you, 303-696-1971. A lot of great texts and emails. Until that time, George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Now, back to The George Show with George Brockler on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We are all the way back here at The George Show, looking at the last half an hour-ish of the show for this weekend, and we'll turn it over to Randy CPAC Corcoran. One of the C's in CPAC is for Corcoran. Until that time, though, I want to get back to the phone calls here. We have had a ton of activity on the topic that we started, really just something that jumped out to me yesterday, and that was the governor taking on, maybe it's not taking on the ag industry and cattle, but it sure feels like it. He issued this proclamation that he refused to give to Marianne Goodland from the ColoradoPolitics.com website, a legitimate website. You should go check it out. They do great reporting. A proclamation that apparently, according to a vegan blog, is going to make March 20th Meat Out Day in Colorado. Meat Out Day. Now, as I sit here and think about it and have listened to the callers at 303-696-1971, one of the great ideas was maybe we change the definition of out, and instead of getting rid of meat, we all take our meat out at the burgers that we buy, the steak, and take them to the Capitol and eat them right there in front of the Capitol and the governor and all that stuff to let them know we're not down with taking on a $4 billion part of our industry, especially when it's part of a broader $40 billion second largest industry in the state of Colorado. I'm still just baffled by the idea that we can't come up with a way to encourage people to try these non-meat products, these meat alternatives, for all the good reasons of health and stuff, without attacking the meat industry, without attacking cattlemen. I don't understand it, but it does speak to this larger notion that on the left, far more than the right, on the left, and it's not just the left, but far more on the left, that once they've concluded something is the truth, that something is right, something is just, they cannot tolerate dissension. They cannot tolerate a differing point of view. In fact, those things have to be crushed. And whether it's the cancel culture for individuals, whether it's saying, hey, you can't, we're not going to support this website or this social media thing, or here, you must have a day where you choose to exclude meat. And you got to hear the proclamation, because it's not just some sort of a, hey, give it a shot. You know, it might be good for you. It is. Removing animal products from our diets reduces the risk of various ailments. And then it goes on to talk about horrible things like diabetes and cancers and the carbon footprint. And we're killing each other, ourselves, and the world through food, through meat products. I don't understand why we need to go down that road of choose this over that. One is good, one is bad. This is evil, this is not. Or in this case, everything's an emergency, right? If you don't get rid of cattle now, the world's coming to an end. Anyway, there's just too many angles of this thing. And I really feel like, once again, it's this elitist, tone-deaf approach to Colorado. Because even if he was born and raised here in Colorado, it feels like it must have been a pretty limited area, like Boulder, Denver, instead of the broader state. I don't know. But it just feels like there's been a lot of tone-deafness coming out of the governor's office lately. But what do you guys think? 303-696-1971. Betty, you have called, been on hold, called back, been on hold. I want to get to you. You're on The George Show. What do you think, Betty?
Hey, George. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. I called in because I have a book that I want to give you the title and the name of the author before I leave you, because it's helped me so much. I like meat. I grew up on a farm, but I never digested meat well because I usually have to take enzymes to digest the meat better.
Wow.
So, but when I got this book, it really opened my eyes to what's going on. So I know my blood type has a lot to do with it.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, I like meat. And I like the thing. I like the caller about calling in about soy. Even, you know, good show, George. Soy and meat today. So here's the book title.
Yeah,
may I give it to you?
Yes.
Okay, it's called Eat Right for Your Blood Type.
Eat Right for Your Blood Type. I swear I have seen this somewhere, and I don't know if it was on Amazon or on the internet or someone told me about it, but that sounds familiar.
Well, it's a good book to have in your library for information, I'll tell you, for everybody, for anybody. It's beneficial. I have the doctor's name is Dr. Peter J. D'Adamo, a big D, apostrophe, big A, D-A-N-M-O, D'Adamo. He wrote the book. He writes, and the number four is for your blood, your type.
Now, has this changed your health? I mean, you read it, followed it, and do you feel much better now?
Yes, I don't eat very much meat at all. And not because I don't like it, because I do. I love well-done pot roast and juicy hamburger. But, you know, I don't do that anymore. I don't even eat much bread because the hamburger, the bun with the hamburger doesn't set well with my digestion.
Yes. Yeah, so do these I'm other blood saying, type things, do some of them say, as opposed to yours, like, yeah, go ahead and eat all the meat you want, or these are the kinds of meat you should
O,
eat?
Blood type O can eat meat all day long.
Wow. I wish I was
blood
I wish
type
I was an
O. I'm telling you, this book will tell you that, and it gives you the things that you can eat for your different blood types. But type O can eat meat, like I just said, all day long.
Now, Betty, have you tried the alternatives to meat, the Impossible Burger and the pretend meat and stuff?
You know, I can't recall. I'm not out much, so I can't recall if I've had a soy burger. It seems to me I might have, but I don't know that, that I was impressed. I don't remember that. But I wouldn't say one way or the other, but I don't eat meat very often, only for the thing that I read this book, and it really helps me. And another doctor, Joseph Cristiano, who's a naturopathic doctor, wrote a book on blood types too. So two Italian doctors wrote books about the blood type.
I'll bet you pasta is in every recommendation.
Right.
No, that's just a stereotype about that. Look, Betty, this is great stuff. Thank you for calling, and I know folks will go out there and check it probably on Amazon.com, but thank you for giving us that information.
Good show. Thank you, George. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Betty. I am definitely going to have a nutritionist on or someone that knows soy, because I'm getting blown up here with emails and texts. Two things. One, very, very kind comments about that segment at the beginning of the 6 o'clock hour about my mom. And for all of you that have reached out with your personal thoughts on your own moms and how that, I appreciate that. I hadn't really decided if I would do that when I drove into the studio this morning. And I thought, well, what the heck? You know, how many times does a kid get a chance to do that? Thank you for that. But the other one is, how many people are now blowing us up here with this stuff on soy being a hormone suppressant and it's bad for you in this way? Or here are the alternatives. Betty's called in with a book that might actually help explain some of this stuff that you can go check out, called Eat Right for Your Blood Type. But I want to continue to have this conversation. It's interesting to me, too, and we're going to get to Steve on hold from Denver, and you can follow up in Betty's line at 303-696-1971. The week that In-N-Out Burger opened its third location in Colorado, in Lone Tree. And by the way, this is a place called In-N-Out Burger, not In-N-Out non-meat products, right? In-N-Out Burger, home of the double-double. You can get it animal style. Hell, you can get it protein style with a lettuce wrap around it if you want to sound super cool. Fries, animal style. You can get the chocolate shake. I'm just giving you my lunch from earlier this week. But the week that that opens, with all of the tax revenue it'll bring in, all the people it will feed, all the jobs it will create, all that stuff, that same week, the governor comes out on it, sheepishly, it sounds like, but to a vegan website through his proclamation, and announces, meat's bad for you, and we ought to have an entire day of meat out. I really hope he considers making 420 weed out day. Maybe we could have fossil fuel out day, and everybody just decides to turn off all their electricity after the sun goes down, and we can know what it's like to have just renewable energies available to us. That'd be awesome. Because by the way, you can't charge your electric vehicle on fossil fuel out day, because that electricity comes from coal-fired and gas-fired plants. So that might be something there. I mean, it's good for you, so we might as well try that for a day as well. Let's get to Steve from Denver. You're on the George Show. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I thank you, George.
Sure.
I'm not sure about exactly. I wasn't able to hear your entire show. I don't know what everybody's been saying about soy, but if a pregnant woman who happens by chance to be carrying a male fetus,
yep,
during her pregnancy, if she eats a lot of soy, has a chemical in it that's similar to estrogen.
It does?
And it will change the balance of her biology and of her child, and such infants, when they're born, their genitalia is deformed.
Is that real? Where did you read that?
I've read it more than once. You need to look for it. I can't give you specifics.
Yeah.
But it only makes sense because it is a balance of the hormones in the body that gives healthy genitalia to both sexes.
Steve, I've got to find an expert on soy. You are like the umpteenth caller who's come in with this information. That one, if it's true, how is this not something that's like on billboards? Don't eat soy or your kid's junk will be messed up. How is that not like a billboard?
Because liberals are right brain thinkers. They don't run on logic. They run on emotion. And the most important thing to know about right brain thinkers is once they get an idea, they do not want to change under any circumstances. It's very unscientific.
I'm going to have to. This is powerful stuff. So I need to confirm this. I need to get a soy expert at some point on here to talk about this. I wish I could get him on by Monday when I'm going to be filling in for Peter Boyles. Because this is a good topic. This is one we might talk
It's got a very strong component of a chemical that's similar to estrogen. And so if pregnant women are carrying a male child, it will mess up his genitalia.
That's kind of big news.
It cannot be fixed surgically, except, I mean, they can kind of make it look normal, but
I'm going to look that up. I got to find an expert. I thought you were going to say something like, hey, it changes their composition such that they come out and they're Raiders fans or something crazy like that. But this is much worse than that. I mean, on par,
no,
but worse.
This is biochemistry.
Oh, Steve, I mean, I was going to ask you if you had any of these impossible meat burger things, but my guess is the answer is a big fat no.
No, it's because meat is not bad for you if you do it in moderation. And when they say meat, what are they talking about? Are they talking about chicken meat, turkey meat, beef meat, pork meat, lamb meat? You know, I want to know what they're talking about. By the way, red meat, why do you think the red meat is red?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's Republican. Iron. What?
It's loaded with iron.
Oh, iron.
Yeah,
iron.
You can consume a lot of iron by eating spinach, which is what the vegans want you to do. But the type of iron that is in spinach is very hard to absorb. The type of iron that is, because it's not, you're not eating iron filings, it's a compound.
Right. Steve, you sound like a nutritionist.
The kind of iron that you find in red meat, boom, it's in your bloodstream immediately. It's right there.
Yeah.
And it goes, and what's the number one tissue that we build every day more than any other kind of tissue?
Kleenex.
Red blood cells.
I was going to say red blood cells.
So eat lots of spinach if you want to become anemic.
Buddy, are you a nutritionist? Or at least you've done a ton of research on this.
I've done a ton of research.
Steve, this is great stuff. I love it when people call in and make us smarter. Steve, thank you for listening for the phone call. Got to jump out for our last break before the top of the hour, but I got to find me a soy expert. If you guys know of a soy expert, email me, would you? Because maybe next week or something, we get a soy expert on there, because some of the revelations here are concerning and not things that you see slapped on, like use of this product may drop your testosterone. Why isn't that on there, man? If we're going to say smoking may cause cancer, I'd love to see eating this product will make your testosterone plunge, or eating this product while pregnant may make your kids junk deformed or whatever it was that Steve was talking about. That's kind of important disclaimer stuff to get on there, don't you think? I feel like it would impact soy sales quite a bit. And then, of course, Soylent Green, which we talked about. I don't know if there's a connection there, but we can get to that. Maybe that could be Stefan's movie of the week, you know, on Fridays. Soylent Green. Listen, we're going to come back for our last break. If there's any other callers out there, and there are, Chandra from Loveland and everyone else at 303-696-1971. I'll fit you on and then we'll say goodbye before Randy CPAC Corcoran comes on to bring us on home to the noon hour. You're listening to The George Show at 710 KNUS.
The George Show with George Brockler on News Talk 710
KNUS. Like my
KNUS.
Steak well done, taters fried,
Well, it's a great song, Matt. We are back for the last several minutes of the show here. I'd love to read you some of these awesome texts that have come in about from people, some of whom are like, hey, my wife was a vegetarian all through the pregnancy with my two boys, and while I haven't checked their junk in years, they seem like they're doing well. Anyway, thank you, Steve, for that. Look, let's get to a phone call here before I got to punch out. Sandra from Loveland, you're on the George Show. What do you think?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, George. Love sure. the topic. I was a vegetarian for 30 years.
Wow.
And I did that because I couldn't stomach the meat that they were selling in the Pacific Northwest. I called it the mystery meat counters.
Oh,
and,
really?
And came back to Colorado, and my dad, brother, family are all hunters. And boy, saw that. I don't know if anybody's out there that's I love elk, venison.
Yep.
Pheasant.
Yep.
I mean, it's yep. healthy for you. Your body naturally craves it. And I can't get enough now that I'm back. But I wanted to say something about the soybeans. In its natural state, is healthy. It's what they do when they reconstitute it. Read your vitamin labels.
Uh-huh.
Soy's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Now, have you tried the imitation meat stuff because of your reaction to the Pacific Northwest meat?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I was at King Soopers here 2 days ago. And that plant-based, it does not look natural. It looks, oh, my gosh. No, I have not. I don't think I could open a package.
That's so funny. The plant-based doesn't look natural. That is just so funny. Sandra, this is good stuff. I would love to know what they did to the meat up in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe it's just a difference in standards or something. But you're right about venison and the lean meats here. And, look, I'm a big CU guy. Go Buffs. But bison tastes good. I mean, bison is good. It's a lean meat.
Absolutely.
Hey, look, thank you for listening, Sandra. As always, thank you for being on hold. I appreciate that. Look, a lot of great feedback, tons of texts, tons of emails. I wish I could get all to them on air before I have to go, but I can't. I'm going to be filling in for the great one. No, not that great one. The other one. Peter Boyles on Monday from 5 to 9. Tune in. Heck, we may revisit this. I'm going to try to get Jerry Sonnenberg on to talk about this. I don't know that I can find a soy expert between now and Monday, but God, who knows, man? Magic. If you've got the name of one, maybe you give me an email shout out here at 710KNUS, and I can try to figure out how to do that. No promises, but we may talk about that. Before I go, I want to say thank you to everybody who reached out with their very, very kind words and their own memories about their moms in light of my comments. You can hear them on the podcast for hour one of the show this week in that first segment. That was kind of my own This Day in History sort of a thing. I also want to give a big shout out of good luck to the Rock Canyon High School mock trial team. My daughter and her team will be doing battle in round 3 and 4 of the mock trial competition, all remote, by the way. Hard to imagine how to do a trial remotely, let alone one that involves high school students in this competition, but they are fantastic. CPAC coming up this weekend. You're going to hear from Randy Corcoran in just minutes. And then we're going to carry, I think live, keep checking, the president's comments tomorrow. And then I'd also want to encourage you to go to In-N-Out. And I'm not saying that because I'm advertising for them, but just in light of what we've been talking about with this 320 today, try to grab a double-double with fries, maybe even a chocolate shake. And by the way, as I think about the end of this, if you ever watch Parks and Rec, and I cannot remember the names of any of the characters, my daughter can, the guy, the super conservative guy who sits there and someone brings him a plate of salad, I think. And he said, oh, excuse me, you've brought me the food my food eats. I just think that's a wonderful line to sign off. I'll be back with you next Saturday. Until that time, keep listening to 710 KNUS. My name's George Brockler. This has been The George Show.